Can everybody hear me okay? Amen. Before we go into the Word, I'd like to have prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now for your Holy Spirit to open our eyes and our heart to the reading of your Word this morning. And that whenever I open my mouth up here today, that you will give me the words that I will fearlessly make known the gospel of which we've all been called to and commissioned to. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. It's been a while since I've been here. In case those who do not know me, I'm Larry Barker. I'm the regional director for Carolina Prison Ministry. And matter of fact, this church had a part to do with me being a part of Carolina Prison Ministry. And we'll get into that a little later. Y'all believe in divine intervention? You must be. You're sitting here today, right? Divine intervention. We're going to talk a little bit about that. There's three people here we're going to go to. And the first one is in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Y'all got your Bibles today? Or should I say your iPods and cell phones with your downloads for Bible nowadays, right? Time changes all things, don't it? Starting in verse 26 in Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture what he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth, and in his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Amen. So here we have Philip, who heard the Spirit, told him to go up towards the chariot. And you know, this is divine intervention. God sent an angel to Philip and told him what to do. But nowadays, us Seventh-day Adventists, we had the three angels' message, right? The eternal gospel to proclaim. We have angels to help us proclaim this gospel, just as this angel was helping Philip. This is what we've all been commissioned to take the gospel to the world. In this case, this man, the Ethiopian, who was the treasurer for Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, he was in high authority, and he was reading Isaiah, and he needed help, and Philip gave it to him. But you see, this man would have not been baptized this day if Philip hadn't been there to share the word of God with him. And this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is based on. Each and every one of us sitting here today have been commissioned to take the gospel to the world, to all nations, baptizing them, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in teaching them everything that Christ commanded us. But you have to be willing, like Philip, to be able to do this. And he was led by the Spirit. How will you be led by the Spirit? Sometimes God sends people to us that tells us things that we need to do, the things we need to change in our life. And sometimes we don't want to hear it because change is one thing we don't want to do. Change is one of the biggest things God requires of us. And that means giving up self, which is our biggest enemy. Did you know God prepares people for our witness before we ever meet them? This is a good example right here. The eunuch had already been reading the prophet Isaiah. God had already prepared him to receive the message. And then the gospel comes along. And when he just so happens, you think it's a coincidence, he was reading Isaiah. You know, God has drawn us with everlasting kindness. And this eunuch was reading Isaiah, where he said he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth, and in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. Christ went to the cross for you and I. And how well did he know that we needed it? He knew just how screwed up we are. And I cannot say that with much more emphasis than that. The problem is, are we willing to admit that we're screwed up and we need Jesus in our life? So if God prepares people for our witness before we ever meet them, what are we waiting for? Didn't he not say the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few? The harvest is plentiful because it's right. God's already softened the hearts of others. But it requires humanity, which is you and I, to spread the gospel. The angels are there to help us because if I remember our memory verse here a couple of weeks ago, it was in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. When you get there, say amen. Says, for our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against God and the knowledge of God. If our weapons of warfare are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, this should encourage us all the more because the angels are there to help us. Was it not an angel that came to prison when Paul and Silas was in there? They encouraged them to take the chains off of them. Was it not angels when Jesus, after his 40 days in the desert, came to care for him? And if I remember right, I think it was Elijah, asked God to open up the eyes of his servant so he could see all the angels in the mountains. And when he did, he seen chariots of fire all through the mountains. He said that they are greater than those who are around us. And Elijah knew it. And now his servant knew it. God has given us all of heaven to bring the gospel to the world. And then He's already prepared. He's already prepared the person before we get there. He already had this eunuch prepared. And Philip was there at the right time. And what did the eunuch say? Philip didn't even ask him. The eunuch said, "What is to keep me from being baptized? Here is the water." And he went down into the water and he was baptized. Amen? That's one person. Now, I'd like to go to chapter 9. Chapter 9, starting in, this is Acts chapter 9. Starting in verse 10. It says, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, so that he might receive his sight.' Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized." Here Ananias, who didn't thank Paul, which is Saul, should have this opportunity. He even said, "Lord, this man has authority, or has been given authority from the chief priests to put your saints, to bind them, put them in prison, to kill them." Now, if Ananias had not listened to God and went and laid his hands on Paul, we wouldn't have a New Testament to read today. Did you ever think about that? If he hadn't have done this, we wouldn't be reading from a New Testament today. And who would ever thought that God would use a man like Paul, who was persecuting the church, to write the Bible for us? A murderer. He's changed his life around. What I'd like to also point out too, when Jesus came to Paul on that road to Damascus, Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Paul said, "What do you want me to do?" Jesus recognized and knew it wasn't just him that Paul was persecuting. It was the saints who stood up for the Word of God. You know, Paul was out putting them in prison, thinking he was doing the work of God. Let me bring something to your attention. That trouble came from within the church. Remember, it was the church who put Christ on the cross. Amen? Trouble comes from within. Not on the outside, on the in. Remember that. There will come a day is some of your own brethren, and it ain't far off, it's very soon, it's going to turn against you. Now, I don't know who they are, but God does. It's those who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ is going to be persecuted. And the testimony of Jesus Christ, you have to be a witness. That means you have to get out of the church and you got to go out there in the world and you got to find somebody to tell about God. Our worship today, we come in here, we praise God, we give Him our tithes, we sing our songs, and we fellowship together. But when we leave here, we need to be thinking about who we need to tell God about. If He said, go therefore to all nations, that means you have to go out of this church to go there. Paul, he was on the road to Damascus to persecute the church. But it was divine intervention who opened his eyes. And after that, he was still going out, but it wasn't to persecute. It was to spread the gospel about the same thing he was persecuting the church for. The same thing he was putting people in prison for, God done changed him to go back and tell about in a different perspective altogether. If it wasn't for Ananias to follow through with that divine intervention, again I say, we would not have the New Testament. I'd like to go to Acts chapter 10 now. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. And where did they go? To where Peter was at. Before they got there, God gave Peter a vision about the animals and the sheep where he was lifted down from heaven. And in that vision, Peter claimed that he had never eaten any unclean meat. And God was showing him, don't call anything unclean that I made holy. He was talking about the Gentiles. Peter did not know at that time. That's why God gave him that vision. So when the men came there to get him, to take them back to Cornelius' house, he knew what that vision was about. And when he got back to Cornelius' house, he explained to him, and I'm going to read from chapter 24. And the following day, verse 24 in chapter 10. And from the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and I had called together relatives and close friends as Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him, but Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jew to eat with a Gentile. Therefore I came without objection. As soon as I was sent, I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all these things commanded by you. Peter went. Here's a man who was waiting for a message from God. You know, a while back I was doing time in Allendale Correctional Institution. Everybody know where that's at? Okay. And this church had a member called Jack Cross. I don't know if there's anybody still here who remembers Jack Cross or not. He came in to minister me in prison. Did you know I had prayed for that? Just like Cornelius did. I had prayed. Because there was no Seventh-day Adventist coming in. For 2 years, not even my own church that I was in would come see me. But you see, Jack Cross made a difference. He heard God speaking to him and he came. Did you know if Jack hadn't come today, I wouldn't be talking to you today? I wouldn't be standing here telling you about prison ministry. That was in 97-96. And I left Allendale in 98 to go to McDougal Correctional Institution. Thank God when I got there, there were Seventh-day Adventists coming in there. And Brother Benson was from the Shiloh Church there in the Charleston area. He'd already been there, already been coming there. And even Brother Benson to this day, don't know how much he participated in the changing of a life. In 2000 when I got out, what makes it kind of ironic was Edgefield. Y'all know where Edgefield is? There's a federal institution there. When I got out of Edgefield, guess where they sent me to catch the bus? Right here in Aiken. I had no idea that I'd be coming to this church one day doing what I'm doing right now. When I come out of there, I had nothing but my Bible and the clothes on my back. And since then, God has increased me, prospered me. But did you know if these people, these volunteers, had not been there that day in those institutions, I wouldn't be here today telling you what God has done for me. Personal testimony from us to another individual is the most powerful, the most moving. And God knows it. That's why He asked you and I to take the gospel. Here recently, there was a person... My mom, who is still doing community service, has been for the last 30 years in the Somerville Church, was helping an individual. And his name is Randy Eads and his wife, Jackie. And they came. They've already heard about the Seventh-day Adventist message. And this is what this church plays a part of this too. I mean, y'all probably don't know it, but you will today. She had helped them out, and it must have moved them enough because they wanted to do Bible study. And just remember, you never know who you help when you reach out. Well, I do Bible study every Friday night at my house when I'm not on the road doing prison ministry. And my mom told me who he was. The name didn't ring a bell. And when I came home Friday, and we usually have maybe 6 people, sometimes 7 people for Bible study, he was there at the dining room table. And when I looked at him, I did not know it was him at first. I said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And he didn't at first, because the last time he had seen me, I had long hair and a ponytail halfway down my back in the county jail. Okay? Imagine that. And that's where I had met him, was in the county jail. And he was there to do a Bible study. And then in the meantime, the beginning of that, he started coming into the message. He did a Bible study with us that night. And then something happened. He had to go into the hospital. And while he was in the hospital for a week, he lost his job. So God brings us through a valley sometimes before we get back up to the mountain. And if it wasn't for the valley, you wouldn't have no mountain high experience. And there are going to be plenty of valleys in your life if you're a Christian. And the reason is because God is drawing us to a closer relationship with Him. He had lost his job, and he called and he asked for some help again through community service, which is through my mom. He had asked if the church could get him a bus ticket up to where his mother-in-law, Jackie's mother, they have a camp meeting somewhere right up above Aiken here. Well, come to find out, the bus didn't go but to Aiken. It wouldn't go no further. So I had called Aiken Church, I called Gloria, I called everybody on the list here at this church to see if somebody here could pick him up and take him there. But for some unknown reason, God's reason, nobody answered the phone. And when they did, it was already done and over with. You see, God didn't want him to go to that camp meeting there. God wanted him to be in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. If he had caught that bus, he would not be a Seventh-day Adventist today. But thank God y'all didn't answer the phone. I knew you would have. You always have every other time. I just couldn't believe it. I said, nobody ain't answering the phone. Well, what God was showing me then, and I didn't know then, remember, God's way is so much higher than ours. He wanted me to minister to Him. He wanted my wife and I to help Him. So when y'all didn't answer the phone, I have a frog over my garage. And nobody was staying in it at the time. I hadn't even put it on Craigslist to rent it yet. And this is probably why. I let him stay in the frog, and Monday he was going to catch that bus. But somehow or another, God worked it out for him to stay. And now he's renting from me, from the frog. God has given him a job so he can support himself. And he got baptized about 3 weeks ago as a Seventh-day Adventist. All because I was there to help him. And that's what the gospel is all about. Witnessing starves selfishness to death. Amen? Witnessing starves selfishness to death. When there is no active labor for others, love wanes and faith grows dim. The love of Christ compels us, and it motivates us, and it drives us forward in our witness by the marvelous love of Jesus, which has changed my life. Paul said it best in Acts 20, and he was quoting from what Jesus said, "It is better to give than receive." Amen? The best thing we can ever give another human being is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no better gift. No money in the world can buy something better than that. And the best thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it don't cost a cent. Let's go to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse This is what it costs to receive the gospel. Romans chapter 10. When you get there, say amen. I'm going to wait for everybody on this one, because this one here is worth more than silver or gold. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. With your heart you confess, and with your heart you believe. That is how we are saved. If you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then why aren't we bringing others to Him? What are we holding back from another individual to share to them? Are we ashamed of Him? What's keeping us from going to a person or asking God for an opportunity to share God with someone else? Did you know the most distant lands underneath the heavens today is prison? A lot of people think that they're there and they should be there, and that's where they belong. Just remember, I was there too. And for some reason or another, God thought I could be useful for Him. If it wasn't for Jack Cross, one, the first one, or Brother Benson from the Shiloh Church, or Jim Wetmore. Did you know I prayed for confirmation if God wanted me to be in prison ministry? And He sent Jim Wetmore, who is the director for North Carolina Prison Ministry, to come see me when I was in Edgefield. And when He did, He asked me to be a part of His prison ministry. God prepares people for us before we even get there. Jim had no idea God had already prepared me to do a life service for Him. If He had not come and asked me, along with Jack and Brother Benson, I would not be standing up here today. There are so many brothers in prison today who are looking to have fellowship with Seventh-day Adventists. And there's so many of us don't think it's important. Don't think there's a need for it. Jesus said, for the least you've done to one of these, you've done to me also. We have a routine that Melvin and I do, and I call it a good cop, bad cop. And I'm going to ask Melvin to come up here and be a part of that. What part is good and what part is bad, you'll have to decide.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Am I in the house of God today? All right. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. All right. That feels a little bit better, for sure. Yeah, we should never be ashamed to profess the name of God. We should never be ashamed to give Him praise, honor, and glory no matter where we are. We've been studying about revival all week long, all quarter long, right? So the Spirit of God has to come from where? From within us, to be assured unto who? Unto others. We might be the only Bible that somebody might see. Often enough, it's not in the what things that we say, but in the way that we do what? We act. If we call ourselves a Christian, we must do what? Act like a Christian, right? So the Holy Spirit must come from where? From within us forward, correct? Amen. See, I told you I'm the good guy. You didn't believe me, but see? But anyhow, we're here with prison ministry today. A lot of times I get an idea of what a church is doing just by reading the bulletin. Now, I will say a lot of bulletins I see have a lot of blank spots in it. Yeah, but as I read your bulletin, I see you have Wednesday morning Bible study, which is good, praise God, and you have Bible study and prayer meeting. Now, Bags of Love Ministry, who's doing that one? That's you doing Bags of Love Ministry. That's interesting that you want... Okay, tell me a little bit about Bags of Love Ministry. Okay. Okay. Oh, very good. Yes, yes, amen. Good ministry there, for sure. Let me ask you a question, though. How do you, or do you ever have an opportunity to interact or do intervention or anything else with the parents who may be incarcerated or anything like that? You don't have that opportunity. You just deal with the children. Okay. Go through the agency. That's a blessing that you're there for that. So praise God for your ministry. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. You guys will catch up with me sooner or later. All right. Okay. Neat old pillowcases. Who's Sandy? She's on vacation. Okay. I thought that was kind of interesting. She makes dresses for children out of pillowcases? That's pretty cool. I mean, who'd have thought? You know? For sure. All right. Good. So the Southern Women of Confidence coming. Okay. Now, what I'm looking for, no pathfinders? No. Okay. No children. I know where a bunch of children are. She knows where a bunch of children are. Ah, something to think about. Okay. We're talking about outreach, are we not? Okay. Now, I noticed 1, 2, 3 children in the church and one we brought with us. Okay. And trust me, this is no reflection on the church. And I'm not saying things to be mean or facetious or whatever. But you know what? We need to find more young people in our churches. You know, we need to open up the house of God to receive them, you know. And we don't need to shape them up before they get here. We need to let God take care of that. You know, for sure, often enough, we want to judge how they look and everything else before they hit the door, you know, before they even turn around. We got them reading Ellen White and everything else, man, and they're still on pablum. You know, we as a church need to become user-friendly. Okay, isn't that the technology word today, user-friendly? That's what we got to become. You know, we need to open up our doors, open up our hearts, invite families. We're missing young families out here. And what's happening to young families now? They're being redefined by the world, right? The world is now saying that a family does not have to consist of a man and a woman. It consists of anybody who likes each other and wants to call themselves a family. But does the Word of God say that? No. But see, we could call according to His purpose. We know this, do we not? So we need to be able to open up our doors and express that to other people. Give them a place of refuge. There are people who are looking for a truth, and they're waiting to come through. I heard in Sabbath school this morning about a young woman who had many situations, had a tough life, but she now sits back there. Why? Because somebody opened the door, and she came in. We got to do this more often. Yeah, we got to reach out for sure. Praise God for that. Amen. How many here has had a perfect life? Amen. Because if you did, I was waiting for the translation. I want to see what's going to happen. Yeah, but as we heard today, we all have valleys. We all have mountaintops experiences. But, you know, all these things culminate into what? A testimony. Amen. Yeah. Each one here can reach someone. There's a song that says, each one reach one, by the way. But we all can reach someone through our life experiences, correct? Because I know I'm not talking to a bunch of saints. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. Amen? Okay. What I'm going to do today, Larry has been talking about a young man. And I'm going to ask Randy to step up here, if you don't mind, brother. Yes, sir. It's not a hot seat, but it is a warm seat. Yes, sir. But I do appreciate your willingness, brother. Praise God. I just met Randy about 2 weeks ago. And I really never met you like, you know. The brother sang a song. I was sitting there, I was like, dude, brother smooth, dude can sing, you know. All right, I'm sorry, dude can sing. Yeah, all depends where you are and where you're coming from, you know. I praise God for his testimony. And we were just talking a little bit here in the back of the church. And a little bit different from me, what I'm going to ask you to do, brother, is just give your testimony, your story on how Jesus brought you to his house today. Amen. 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 I'm going to get out your way.
Amen. Happy Sabbath. Wasn't too long ago I couldn't say that. And Brother Larry has already kind of set the foundation for that. Young age. In fact, the first day I believe that I came home from the hospital as a newborn baby, the first Sunday morning, I went to church. And I was raised in church. Unfortunately, I was raised in Sunday worship. And at a young age, I felt the call of God on my life for ministry. In my early 20s, I went into full-time pastorate ministry. Through unwanted and unwelcome circumstances, a betrayal from a companion, as well as my best friend and I believe my right-hand man in ministry, the chairman of the board of deacons. I took a fall in ministry. And I got away from God and I met Brother Larry in 1996. After being in ministry for 14 years, I took a nosedive. Let me tell you, when you get your eyes off of God, and you allow the storms of life and the winds of adversities to steer you instead of making His Word a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, you don't have but one direction to go. And that's the nosedive. But I have good news today. And the good news is this, that God can take what we believe to be a bad situation and He can turn it into a blessing. And that's exactly what He did. There were seeds of truth that were planted in my heart. I met people along the way. And in fact, during my course of ministry, I had questions. I'd go to mentors, other pastors, people I'd sat under as I was coming up in the church. And I'd say, the Bible says this. Can you explain? Oh, you need to leave that alone. You're tampering with the wrong things. So the Holy Spirit was trying to deal with me and get me to come to the knowledge of the truth that I never did. Because I didn't have the light of the gospel shine into my heart. But there were seeds that were being planted. Brother Larry, Sister Lily, they were used by God to plant a seed in my heart and in the heart of my wife. And by the way, I'm thankful to God that God makes provision. Amen. He'll take things that we think are the best things that ever happened to us, and He'll take it away. He'll take it away so that He can bring something better in our lives. I thank God that I took a nosedive in ministry. Because through that, I've gained a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And I've come to the saving knowledge of the truth of God's Word. The light of the glorious gospel of peace has shined into my heart. He's brought a beautiful wife into my life. And we're serving the Lord together. And a few weeks back, we were baptized into the Adventist Church. And I thank God for that. I want to broadcast that. I want to shout it from the rooftop and the mountain high. I serve a God that's alive and well. Amen. He's not dead. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem to prove it. He lives. And because He lives, you and I can live. I thank God for the testimony and the message this morning. I just want to share this. In the story of Ananias, Brother Larry brought out this morning, Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church of the living God. And one time my wife and I were reading that story together just a month or so ago. And something popped out at me. God spoke to Ananias and told Ananias, this Saul of Tarsus is coming to you. And gave him instructions on what he wanted him to do. I can imagine how Ananias felt. Man, this guy's killing Christian folk. You want me to talk to him? But something jumped out of the page. A man can change. A man can change. God showed me that. Do you believe a man can change? Do you believe that he can take a life that's near destruction and he can turn that thing around? And he can take the valley and he can make it a rose. God can take a man whose life is dark with sin and he can fill it with his love and make the light of the gospel of Christ to shine through his life. That's who we are. We're the lights of the world. And I thank God for prison. I thank God for prison ministry. I went to jail back in 96 and met Brother Larry. See, if you don't do what God wants you to do, he'll get you in a place where he can use you. Larry'd preach and I'd preach and Larry'd preach and I'd preach and we'd give Bible studies. And you know what, Larry? It was almost like we wasn't in jail. Because God would visit and the Holy Spirit would come. And lives were being changed and transformed. The problem was, I was given the message, but I wasn't getting it. But I thank God I finally got it. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that there's a lighthouse? I'm going to sing that in a minute, Brother Larry. There's a lighthouse that shines. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Don't go too far, brother. Huh? Well, he gone? Because see, right now we're in transition. Okay? So let us roll the transition. Because, huh? But we're striking down the middle right now because, brother, we are Ananias, man, right now. Look at here. I got to hold Ananias for a moment here. Okay? I got to get this point across. Okay? Because how many here are called to be Ananias? Because what are we here for? We're here about prison ministry. Okay? We need someone or bodies to become Ananias. You know, to go see that person who we thought was condemned or whatever the situation is. To go make a difference in someone else's life. That's what prison ministry does. You know? And as Saul was sitting there with the scales on his eyes and all that good stuff and everything else, blinded with opportunity and time to think, brothers and sisters are locked down with scales on their eyes for opportunity and time to think, waiting for someone to bring them a truth that's going to bring them out of spiritual darkness. This is why we're looking for the Ananias in the church today, or the Phillips in the church today, to come out and make the clear word understood, because people are reading the word and not always getting it. God will give them a heart and a light, but sometimes you just need somebody to come through and give a little push, a little confirmation. This is what prison ministry does. Now, do you have an active prison ministry in your church today? Silence tells me no. Okay. All right. So, now, I'm going to say this. You are not the only Seventh-day Adventist church in this area. Correct? Okay. Now, we always talk about revival, correct? Now, revival's for who? Us, those who are called according to His purpose and His perfect will, right? Okay, now, does it make any difference what church you're in? No. So what we're hoping for is that not just this church, But if all the churches in this area got together, you could probably put together a prison ministry team. All it takes is one person wanting to do it. Now, if, what's the name of the other church over here? I'm sorry, I forgot. Which one? Ebenezer, is it? New Light. New Light. I'm not sure if they have a prison ministry team there, but we need to get one started. You know, and all we're looking for today is for one person willing to say, hey, I will be that Ananias. That I'll be the one to go for. I'll be the one to help initiate prison ministry in this area. Then you start working with the other churches in the area. Do you realize how powerful a ministry you would have? Really. This sister here, you brought to light about the children whose parents are incarcerated. All right, we're reaching out to the children, but what about the parents? They need you as well. They need Jesus Christ. Because if they don't have Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? They get released into what? The same exact situation. That's a no-win situation. But we have an opportunity to become a light in a dark place. Everyone says, well, I'm not equipped to go inside the prison. True, you might not be, but you're equipped to pray. Pray for other people. You know, you're equipped to write. Write to other people. You're equipped to help out with children. You're equipped to start a Pathfinder Club here. I know you guys like kids. Y'all had some. Well, wait a second. That might be the reason. No, but you know, but most of everybody here had children. And what we want to do is give them opportunity to make a conscious decision for themselves. If we bring Jesus Christ into their life now, which they might not never have, who knows what pastor you're going to turn out? Who knows what lawyer, what doctor will turn out because this church opened up and say, hey, we got a Pathfinder Club here for young people. You know, we're starting an outreach. Trust me, your church will become full. Trust me. That's the word of God leading to others, for sure. All right, and what I'm going to do at the end of this, when we finish here today, if there is someone who wants to become a part of prison ministry, even if you want to become of the local work in the local jail, because that's very important. Because in the local jail, these people or persons are coming in and they're going right back out on the street. You have a better chance of making contact with them. You have a better chance of reaching a whole family. So there's multiple opportunities that we're allowed. So I'm looking, we're looking for the Ananias to come out today. So after church, you can talk to either Larry or myself and say, hey, we want to do prison ministry. We want to be a part of prison ministry some shape, way, or form. God will bless the work that you're about to do. God will continue to bless this church. I'm looking at this picture up here. Okay, now, am I wrong in saying that this picture is what you guys are shooting for? Okay, now, I kind of like to talk things on the practical side. I usually don't hide too much. I guess you might have figured that out already. Now, that's a pretty big church. Well, a big church needs a lot of big people in it, don't it? Okay. Now, in order to get people in it, what do we have to do? We got to go outside, right? Okay. Now, we have to go where they are. We can't be selective like,
you like a fine, outstanding Christian man. I'd like you to come to my church next week. You want to go to a church? Yeah, brother. Plenty of Satan running in you. We need to come together, brother. We're going up. We need you in our church. We need you, man. Sure. You got something to do that. We need you. That's called social networking. And it's not done on an iPad. Okay? Social networking is hand in hand. Reaching out and touching something. Our world can be changed a lot. Reach out and touch. Okay? Facebook, you might be good and everything else, but when you make personal contact, that changes a lot.
Amen.
That's for real. Yeah. That's you and I will do that. Face. How are you going to tell them? I mean, it doesn't happen when you're looking face to face.
Correct?
Amen. Amen. All right. So,
frame that you have of Ananias wanting to be more, who want to have desire to have a heart of prayer, but not to get that.
Is yours?
Oh, yeah. You know, when you have great minds, you forget things.
They call that senior moments. I have an offer for you. I know you're going to have potluck today. How would you like to come back after potluck and hear us sing some more and Randy sing for you? Free. Don't cost you nothing. So, Melvin and Shirley and Lily and I and Randy will sing for you after potluck if you want us to. We didn't even plan to do this. This is something God just put in my heart to offer you. So if you're interested in it, let us know after potluck and we'll come back in here and sing some for you. So now as we get ready to close, I want to close this out in prayer and then I guess we'll have the deacons in the back pick up a love offering for prison ministry. Amen. And we'll just use Randy's song as our closing song if that's all right with the church. Amen. Unless you want to sing something, we'll sing. You got a song you want to sing for closing? We'll sing it. Okay. Let's close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for adding the blessing and increase to your word, for using your Holy Spirit that opened our eyes and our heart. For the Spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing. And the words you have spoken us to hear today, they are Spirit and they are life. Thank you for reviving us. Thank you for giving us an opportunity, Father, to be in the land of the living today. That we can tell someone about Jesus Christ, the great I am, the most awesome God in all the universe, who is able to save this wretched man from this body of death. Father, thank you for allowing us to come here today and share Jesus with our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen.